So, spend some time talking about what has been found to be a culturally congruent group work intervention working with Black women aimed at enhancing psychosocial competence, but as well as has shown to reduce stress symptoms as well as depressive symptoms. So, just as I said, so when defining psychosocial competence, it's been defined many ways, but given the originally a lot of the literature, or Rotter pointed to, in addition to looked at internal, external, but later refined his work to look at externality, because just inherently that internality, when you're looking to forces outside, this whole trust factor, and when using Tyler's work in looking at psychosocial competence, originally also the trust factor was part of the variable, but in his work as well as in follow-up work, was found that when working with African Americans in particularly, it's not helpful to look at trust, especially when you're looking at trusting kind of in terms of a worldview standpoint. So, as many of us may know that, well, one of the reasons that I looked to develop this intervention was really understanding the confounding and the multiple issues and complexities of many psychological issues that Black women face as they try to navigate the United States, whether it's childcare, whether it's dealing with issues of substance abuse, whether it's just trying to engage in everyday living and functioning activities. So, as you may know, that some of the effects of racism, sexism, classism, as well as sexual identity, are some of those factors that create this very complex and compounding factor that increase psychological distress within their lives. As well as in just review of the literature and understanding their underutilization and access to services and mental health treatment, as well as the lack of culturally congruent, or I mean, many different words we could use, culturally responsive, or just interventions that are tailored to meet their needs. Just the lack of intervention models out there when looking to meet any of their psychological or other needs, and the reduction of depression or any other risk factors. And I also to highlight that this intervention is based on positive mental health outcomes versus many mental health outcomes or interventions that were originally developed and looked at people of color, in particular African Americans, looking at kind of maladaptive or their inability to function. So this intervention sought to do the reverse and looking at what were the positive, how can we create interventions that really seek to create positive mental health outcomes, and not always in comparison of other groups, but really what could be developed to strengthen whom they were, both on the and looking at behavioral as well as personality behaviors. So just wanted to give you an idea of kind of before I get into the conceptual framework for this model. So my idea was that individuals who participate in this culture-specific psychoeducational group that enhances psychosocial competence, that in addition, as mentioned, that they would be able to explore those stressors that impact their lives, that they receive empowerment through the sharing and validation of their life experiences, as well as develop problem-solving skills as well as coping skills. And when you think about, again, psychosocial enhancement, I'm looking at two components here: the self-attitudes that includes locus of control and their behavioral attributes, looking at active coping. And as I mentioned, one of the major goals was to reduce stress as well as depression. So leads to my hypothesis that this would decrease depressive symptoms as well as decrease stress symptoms and decrease externality. And I always feel like I explain this because the goal of decreasing or enhancing their externality means that helping them to gauge a sense of control of their life outcomes and goals, where it's different when you say to increase their internality, meaning that they believe that they're in control, instead of just saying, how do we begin to decrease this feeling that they're not in control? As well as my goal was to increase their level of active coping versus just coping for survival as compared to a control group. So this particular study looked at 58 black women, and let me define for you, when I use this term black women, I'm not just speaking of African American women, especially it's very, when looking at regionally, you're talking about West Indian women, Latina women who identify of being of African descent, as well as African American and African women who identify as being of African descent or being black. So this the design used a experimental design with pre and post test measures. For this study, we had 3 intervention groups and 3 no treatment control groups at 3 separate sites, and those sites consisted of a women's only homeless shelter, a outpatient substance abuse clinic, as well as outpatient inpatient substance abuse clinic, as well as a general social service agency in which black women use frequently. And just some general information about groups. It's important that you try to maintain 8 to 10 women in a group. You don't want to go over 10 because otherwise it gets overwhelming for them as well as for the facilitators. But you want to keep it small enough in order to create this intimate sharing environment. This is important not also only for the facilitator, but it's important for the facilitator to emphasize this to the group. And I found that whether I was training or running groups, really had to get participants to buy into this model. So it just wasn't about going into a community-based setting and being able to say, you need to be here every week at this time and expect that they would show up. But really trying to help them understand how their purpose of participating relied on everyone being there, and that you instill in a sense of camaraderie amongst one another and solidarity, so that they felt that they were not only there for themselves, but for each other. A little bit about the intervention. This intervention particularly ran for 10 weeks. Each session ran for 90 minutes. It moved from highly predetermined structure to focusing where we focus on the site, assign readings, to a more open format. And progressively, we moved to a more intimate content and moved towards more intimate topics during each session. So it really depended on what the subject matter was, whether it was very structured or not, or whether it became very intimate right away. But the inclusion of literature was also key, as it helped to set the stage for the discussion of the group. And all the women would walk away from each group with a some sort of homework assignment, even if it was reading one chapter in a book. And it was emphasized to them that this is also a time for you to, you know, how often are you allowed to really take time for yourself and read something that is about your own personal development? And they really began to buy into that. So part of our conversation may have revolved around, in the opening, how they were able to sit in a corner or just kind of give their children another activity, or so they could have the space for themselves while reading. In the discussion of my results, I use the, in terms of measure of depressive symptoms, I use the Beck-2 as well as the CESD scales, because they both, the Beck-2, because that has been proven to be it's been validated across persons of color, in the CESD, because at the time I wanted to see whether there were differences between groups, and because we know that it's been a well-established measure. We use the perceived stress scale, the internal-external locus of control scale, as well as the behavioral attributes of psychosocial competence scale. Analysis, just so that you have in mind, we use chi-square as well as independent two-sample t-test analysis for demographics. Pre- and post-test measures were analyzed for main effects of condition, time, and interaction, and the use of a multi-repeated measures analysis of variance. Okay. So just to... when we looked at pretest from post-test in the 10 weeks, we did find that the participants' levels of depressive symptoms reduced significantly compared to that of the control group, whether we were using the CSD or the BDI-2, which is always a sign of hope when you can get people to reduce those symptoms. Often, their scores were really clinically diagnosable. And I should have also pointed out, I chose not to use, their participation was not contingent upon whether they had depression or not. Because often when we have studies that, especially within African American and Latino, among those populations, say that you have to be diagnosed with something, it decreases the likelihood of their participation. Not often does someone say, well, tell me about the stressors that you're dealing with daily. Are you having a hard time struggling? Well, this is a place for you to begin to work. So they don't feel the pressure to feel like they have to be clinically diagnosed with anything. So most of these women came at pretest, they would have been clinically diagnosed based on these two measures and the symptoms that they showed. Same thing with the perceived stress, which makes sense, that these women came in with a lot of baggage and just a lot of daily life stress, whether that stress was based on their ability to go home and carve out time to read, or it happened within the group setting. We know that from week 1 to week 10 that they were able to decrease that level of perceived stress. We found no significant main effects of condition or time on the variable of locus of control. Although you did find significant changes of means, I should have put up those means from pre-test to post-test. One of the things you quickly learn about locus of control, and remember I first started doing this work, the fact that these women weren't changing, and then they clicked. This is a personality variable. So you're asking people to make changes that they've been carrying out for, 25, 30 years. They've been managing their lives as well as themselves in a certain manner. But so it was also hopeful that we did find changes from pre-test to post-test. I actually have those results here. I can show you just in the change of means. So at baseline, the mean was 27.3, and at week 10, it was 18.6. So statistically, it's not significant, but life, it's significant, and that's huge. The same with coping. Again, it's another behavioral, not personality, but a behavioral variable that's also difficult to change. Very difficult to change. What was very interesting is that at pretest for many of these women, they would show this nice stable level of coping. And most of the literature tells you how Black women in particular are great copers. And that's a myth within itself. Because never is the question asked, what are the repercussions for this fantastic coping? And if I could have measured health outcomes within these studies, you would see that their increase or their ability to cope significantly impacts their health outcomes negatively. But what this intervention did do is actually we would see that they would decline on their ability to cope. Because when they came into this group, they were asked to, okay, you're good copers, but now I want you to take off your mask. And we're going to talk about what this means. So in some ways, they became naked. And they opened themselves up to many conversations and discussions about their lives, their families' lives, and Black women in particular, that actually increase their ability, well, decrease their ability to cope, but increase their ability to actively cope, which is a strength within this group. And one of the things, the piece of literature that I chose for this particular group was a book by Bell Hooks that's focused on Black women and kind of the psychological effects and life of Black women, really raising consciousness among them. So some of the implications for practice and research is basically to that we need to look closer at interventions and programs that aim to reduce psychological distress as a result of depressive and stress symptoms, and finding ways to enhance oneself, whether it's through looking at the sense of control and mastery over their lives, as well as the ability to better cope and manage with life circumstances. Also, this intervention implies that the development of racially and culturally specific groups using a framework, and I didn't go into detail about that framework because not enough time here, but want to know that this model is built off of a really Black feminist perspective. So most of the materials that they're gauging in, they're asked to talk about historical or things that they've learned within their families, ways that better, you know, some of the positive ways of coping. It really takes that point of view, as well as the literature used in the groups are authored by Black women, as well as based on the Black experience. And this helped them, became a tool of helping them to gain insight and to explore some of these everyday issues. Okay, that is it. Thank you.